We have been talking for the past couple of weeks about crisis praying. So once again, we want to welcome everyone here today. We're in-house, in service together, once again, live service. And it's so good to have all of you with us as well by YouTube today. We welcome all of you across this country, around the world, and even back in New Orleans, all of our family and friends there. We love you guys. We miss you. And we hope to see you fairly soon here. But anyway, we're going to talk about this morning the part three of crisis praying. And the first couple of weeks, we've talked about the nation of Israel and how they were in crisis, being invaded by two different armies in those first two messages. Two different kings, one was Jehoshaphat and the other was Hezekiah. Jehoshaphat got a prophetic word from one of the priests about how the outcome of the battle was going to be, a very victorious battle for Israel. And the same thing with Hezekiah. It was the prophet Isaiah that gave him a prophetic word on what the end was going to be of that invasion of the Assyrian army. And again, a great victory for the nation of Israel. Now today, we're kind of switching gears more to a personal nature where it's an individual that is going through crisis in his life. Chris Tigreen writes this. He says, crisis situations become opportunities for God to manifest himself in the crisis. I like that. I want to say it again. He writes, crisis situations become opportunities for God to manifest himself in the crisis. So no matter what you're facing this morning, what maybe crisis might be coming your way, God wants to manifest himself in your circumstance and in your situation this morning, no matter what it is. It may be worries over a relationship. It may be about a job, about a promotion, about the sale of a home, about whatever. It could be all kinds of things that may be going on in your life. But God wants to manifest himself in the middle of your crisis. A crisis will either draw us closer to God or it will drive us further from him. But you know what? That choice is ours. We can choose to draw closer to the Lord in our crisis, or we can choose to just turn away from him and get further from him. The choice is truly ours. Now, this morning, we're going to talk about one of the biblical figures that has gone through a lot of crisis in his life, and his name is David, the king of Israel. And we know that from a boy, he was a shepherd boy. We know he kept the sheep, the flocks of his dad. And we know that crisis situations came up even then as a teenager. He killed a bear. He killed a lion that were attacking the sheep. And those instances of crisis in those moments enabled him to face another crisis as a teenager when he killed the giant Goliath. And so those moments of the bear and the lion were in his head where he's saying, you know, just like I killed them, that's what's going to happen to this giant Goliath. He is defying the armies of the living God. But in that moment of crisis, he said, this giant is too big for me to miss. Amen? He's too big for me to miss. And so he hits him with the stone, and we know the story from Sunday school. But I want to take a look at a couple of crisis moments in David's life. One being when he's fleeing from King Saul, right before David is going to become king. He's already been anointed by the prophet Samuel to be the next king following Saul, but Saul is still king, and he's very jealous of David, and he's pursuing David in order to try to kill David so that he can't become king. And then the other one we're going to talk about is when David's own son Absalom rebels against him and takes over the kingdom briefly from David. And then, of course, David comes back to power after Absalom is killed by David's army. And so there's a couple of sad situations there because David was very, at once very close to King Saul and certainly had a pact with Saul's son, Jonathan. They were dear friends. We'll talk about that in just a minute also. And then, obviously, his son, Absalom, he grieved over the loss of his son in that crisis. And so we're going to kind of touch upon some words from Samuel in the writings of what we're looking at this morning, those two instances of crisis. But then we're also going to match the Psalms that correspond to those moments in David's life. I think that'll be kind of interesting to do this morning. So let's get started here scripturally. 1 Samuel chapter 22, and just a couple of verses there, and this is where the first crisis, where David is fleeing from King Saul. And so chapter 22, verse 1 of 1 Samuel, and it says this: David left Gath, and he escaped to the cave of Adullam. When his brothers and his father's household heard about it, they went down to him there. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him, and he became their leader. About 400 men were with him at that time. So here David is on the run for his life, fleeing from King Saul, and his family finds out about it. They find him at the cave. They go to him there. They minister to his needs. But then also all these people started gathering around David. But they were maybe not the best crowd you might want. They were discontented. They were in distress. They were in debt. And they're looking for someone to be their hero, their leader. And so they gather around David, this motley crew, and they become the followers initially of King David, about 400 men. And then let's go to, you might want to stay there. We're going to get back to that in just a moment. But now I want us to go to the psalm that matches this instance in David's life. And it's Psalm chapter 142. Psalm 142. And in the NIV, the title says here, this is when David was in the cave. And it's a prayer. Remember, we're talking about crisis praying. He's in the midst of a crisis. King Saul is trying to kill him, trying to find him to kill him. And he's in this cave at Adullam. And so David begins to pray in Psalm 142, verse 1. And he says this: I cry aloud to the Lord. I lift up my voice to the Lord for mercy. I pour out my complaint before him. You need to do that sometimes. Just get alone with God in the midst of your trouble, in the midst of your crisis, and just pour your heart out to the Lord. Just pour out your complaint before him. And then he says, before him, I tell my trouble. When my spirit grows faint within me, Father, it's you who know my way. In the path where I walk, men have hidden a snare for me. Look to my right and see. No one is concerned for me. I have no refuge. No one cares for my life. So many times, maybe in life, you might get to a point where you feel like nobody really cares. Nobody's interested. You know, you ask people, hey, how you doing? Oh, I'm doing good, you know, can't complain. And sometimes I'll say, well, that doesn't do much good anyway, does it? You know, if you complain, nobody wants to listen to it. And that's what David found. He says, no one cares for my life. So verse 5, he says, I cry to you, O Lord. I say, you are my refuge. You are my portion in the land of the living. Folks, in times of trouble, times of crisis, such as we're in today, we need to realize that it's the Lord that is our refuge. He is our portion in the land of the living. He's the one that we can run to. He's the one that we can cast all of our care upon because he cares for us. And then verse 6, David cries out, listen to my cry, for I am in desperate need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. David recognized his inability against this vast force coming against him. And he was calling out to God to rescue him, to be his refuge in time of trouble. And then verse 7, David prays further, set me free from my prison. Well, in this age of self-isolation, we may have felt like we were in prison, maybe felt like we were in a cave. We certainly had cabin fever probably for a while, and David probably had cave fever. But he says, God, set me free from this prison so that I may praise your name. And then the righteous will gather about me. Not just the discontented, the distressed, those in debt, but even send me good people, send me righteous people, gather them around me. Why? Because of your goodness to me. Let them see your hand of blessing upon my life. And that will draw people. The word says, I'll draw all men unto me. If we lift up Jesus, he said, I'll draw all men to me. And David was wanting God to bring him people, righteous people, people of high moral character and integrity. He wanted those kinds of people around him. And he says, do it for your goodness, because of your goodness to me. Well, let's go back to 1 Samuel. We're going to go this time to chapter number 23. 1 Samuel chapter number 23, and we're going to pick up at verse number 14. And we're still in the situation where David is fleeing still from Saul at this point. So 2 Samuel 23 and verse number 14 says this, David stayed in the desert strongholds and in the hills of the desert of Ziph, where this cave was located. Day after day, Saul searched for him, but God did not give David into his hands. We know that we have an enemy of our souls. Paul says we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. We have an enemy that is out to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. And so day after day, Saul is searching for David to kill him, but God did not give David into his hands. God is not going to give us into the enemy's hands. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Amen? And if God be for us, who can be against us? So verse 15 says, while David was at Horesh in the desert of Ziph, he learned that Saul had come out to take his life. And Saul's son Jonathan, there's that son we were talking about. David and Jonathan had such a unique friendship. And so Jonathan went to David, and he helped David find strength in God. Now, there's a true friend. A true friend, the Bible says, will stick closer than a brother. A real friend will stick closer than a brother. David and Jonathan were true friends. They had made a pact. They had made a covenant together that they would be for each other and that they would be for each other's families. And so Jonathan comes to David at Horesh, and he helped David find strength in God. He went there to encourage David. He went there to pray with David. He went there to let him know. Look at verse 17. He says, don't be afraid, Jonathan said. My father Saul will not lay a hand on you. You will be king over Israel. He's telling this to David. And it's so ironic because Jonathan normally would have been the one that would follow his father as king of Israel, right? As the firstborn son of the king, he is the heir to the throne. But he realizes that God has chosen David. And he says, my father is not going to lay a hand on you. You, David, will be king over Israel, and I will be second to you. Even my father Saul knows this. What an amazing friend for him in the midst of that crisis to be that true friend to David, to help him find strength in God. And there's a psalm that goes along with that. Let's go back to the book of Psalms and chapter number 57. Psalm chapter 57. And again, the subtitle in the NIV says, it's when he fled from Saul into the cave. So again, David's still in this cave, and he's praying, crying out again to God. And so let's pick up at verse number 1 of Psalm 57. And David prays, have mercy on me, O God. Have mercy on me. For in you my soul takes refuge. I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings. Very similar to Psalm 91. He says, I'll take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed. That's a word for us. Run to the Lord. Seek his face in time of crisis. Find shelter in him and only him. Verse 2, I cry out to God Most High, to God who fulfills his purpose for me. There's another thing in life, is don't try to do all the time what you want, but what does God want with your life? What is God wanting to do and accomplish through your life? Think about that. David says, I want you to fulfill your purpose for me. And then verse 3, he sends from heaven. God sends from heaven and saves me, rebuking those who hotly pursue me. God sends his love and his faithfulness. I love that. You know, no matter what's going on around us, good times, bad times, whatever in between, God's love and his faithfulness are always there. They surround us at all times. And then verse 4, David says, I'm in the midst of lions. I lie among ravenous beasts, men whose teeth are spears and arrows, and whose tongues are sharp swords. David said, there's people trying to destroy me. They're trying to kill me, trying to take my life. And so verse 5, he says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. They spread a net for my feet. I was bowed down in distress. They dug a pit in my path. There's a great sermon title, A Pit in My Path. You know, he said, they've just dug a pit for me, and they placed it in the path, right where the place where I'm going to walk. They've dug a pit, hoping that I'll fall into it, just like you would trap an animal. But he says this, but they have fallen into it themselves. The ones that dug the pit fell in the pit themselves. That's what God will do. What the enemy means for bad, God will turn around for good. Amen? All things work together for good for those of us that love God and are called according to his purpose. And then he goes on in verse 7. This is good. He says, my heart, my mind is steadfast, O God. My heart is steadfast. I will sing and make music. Awake, my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among the peoples. Why? For great is your love, reaching to the heavens, and your faithfulness reaches to the skies. And then he repeats a previous verse in verse 11 as he closes this psalm. He says, be exalted, O God, above the heavens, and let your glory be over all the earth. I want this pandemic that has crippled the planet in these months of this year, I want God to turn that around and let his glory be over all the earth. Where the pandemic has spread over the entire planet, I want the glory of God to spread over this entire planet. God can do that. God can turn things around on the devil himself and free us and deliver us from all of this harm. Now let's go back to 2 Samuel once again. 2 Samuel, not 1 Samuel, but 2 Samuel. And let's go to chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter 15. And just a couple of verses on this one. And we transition from Saul pursuing David to what we talked about earlier. Now we turn to Absalom, David's son, pursuing him. So another real crisis situation in David's life, among many that we could have covered, but these two are really prominent in my mind. 2 Samuel chapter 15, and we're going to pick up at verse number 13. And it says this, a messenger came and told David, the hearts of the men of Israel are with Absalom. Absalom had deceived the people of Israel, and he had turned their hearts towards him with deception and deceit. Oh, that there was someone that would listen to your complaint, he would tell them. But there's no one to hear your complaint. If I was king, you would have my ear. I would tell you, exactly how to solve your problems. I would do my best to take care of your needs. And so he won the hearts of the men of Israel, was what Absalom did. Verse 14 says, then David, upon hearing this, he said to all his officials who were with him in Jerusalem, come, we must flee, or none of us will escape from Absalom. We must leave immediately, or he will move quickly to overtake us and bring ruin upon us and put the city of Jerusalem, to the sword. David knew that it was a time to get out. There were times when David would stand tall and fight, but there were other times when he knew that the best thing was to escape for a season and then fight another day. get into a better position to fight. And so David was a great warrior. He knew what he was doing. And he said, we've got to get out of here immediately if we want to survive. Well, let's go to, again, the book of Psalms. And we're going to go to one of the early chapters there, chapter number 3 in Psalm. And this is, again, a story, the subtitle, A Psalm of David When He Fled from His Son Absalom. And David writes this upon that heartbreaking episode in his life. He says, O Lord, how many are my foes? How many are rising up against me? And it wasn't just his son Absalom, but it was one of his most trusted advisors that had rebelled against him and had deceived him as well. And that man's name was Ahithophel. David writes about him in Psalm 55. You can look that up this afternoon and read that on your own. But there's just some verses about the middle and then towards the end where David is talking about someone that betrayed him, someone that he had once gone to the temple with, and they walked arm in arm into the temple together, his trusted advisor, Ahithophel. And so that was one of the ones that had risen up against David, someone he never dreamed that would turn his back on him, just as he never thought Absalom would do such a thing either. But he says, how many are rising up against me? And many are saying of me, God will not deliver him. There's all kinds of voices out there right now. Most of them are negative voices trying to tell us how bad it is, how bad it's going to be, how bad it's going to get again. It's going to be worse. It's going to be, you know, blah, 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 blah. All kinds of negative voices out there, you know. But they're saying in this instance, they're telling David, you know what? God's not going to deliver you this time. Yeah, you killed the giant. Yeah, you may have killed a bear and a lion when you were a boy. Yeah, you've won some great victories over the Philistines. But you're gonna lose this one. God's not going to deliver you this time. Guys, we can't listen to those negative voices. Those are just lies of the enemy. God is with us. God is for us. God is in us. God will never leave us. He'll never forsake us. He said, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. God will deliver you. So then he goes, David says, but you know, in verse 3, he says, but Lord, you are a shield around me, O Lord. We need to understand that there is a hedge built around us. The devil told God about Job. He says, well, certainly Job is serving you because you've got a hedge built around Job that I can't penetrate. But if you do this or do that, then he'll curse you to your face. Well, Job never did. Job trusted God. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. David says, God, you are a shield around me, O Lord. You're my shield. You're my defense. You bestow glory on me, and you lift up my head. To the Lord I cry aloud, and he answers me from his holy hill. And then I love this. Verse 5, I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. There's some folks over the years that I've counseled with, and I've gone through episodes in my own life where sleep escapes you because you're worried, you're stressed, you're fearful, you're going through something you don't know the answer to, and it seems like you just can't make your mind stop thinking. You just can't seem to find sleep and rest. And yet the Word says that God gives His beloved sleep. I love this. David says, in the midst of everything I'm going through, in this crisis, my own son coming against me, a trusted counselor has betrayed me. But you know what? I lie down and sleep. I wake again because the Lord sustains me. I love that. And so we need to do that. We need to go to the Lord in a sleepless night. You need to say, Lord, look at this. Look at this verse. And there's so many others about sleeping that God wants to give you rest. God wants to give you sleep. He says in verse 6, I will not fear the tens of thousands drawn up against me on every side. So arise, O Lord, deliver me, O my God. And here's true David. Strike all my enemies on the jaw. Break the teeth of the wicked. David is not a kind prayer at this point. He's saying, Lord, just punch them in the mouth, you know, knock out their teeth, do whatever you got to do, but get them off my back, you know. And he prays this. And then he says, because from the Lord comes deliverance, and may your blessing be on your people. I love the fact that David was not only concerned about himself, but David always had a heart for his people. He was a true shepherd. He was a true shepherd. He loved his people. He was a great king. And so he says, from the Lord, that's my source of deliverance. And he says, I want you to bless my people. I love it. Well, let's go back to 2 Samuel. I know we're bouncing around here this morning, but I hope you're enjoying this. 2 Samuel, chapter number 15 again, and just one verse a little bit later in the chapter, verse number 23. And it says this, the whole countryside wept aloud as all the people passed by. Again, remember David said, we got to get out of here. We got to get out of the city because Absalom is on his way. And if we don't leave, we're going to be killed. So they all wept aloud as they passed by. And the king also crossed the Kidron Valley, leaving Jerusalem. And all the people moved on toward the desert. There's always a place that we find ourselves in that we say, Lord, are you here with me? Sometimes it's in a cave. Sometimes it's in a desert, you know. Sometimes it's between a rock and a hard place where you just don't know what to do. And so they're moving toward the desert. They feel like if they can get out there, they can kind of regroup, get ready to come and fight again another day. So let's look at the psalm that corresponds with that. And that will be Psalm chapter number 63. It says, a psalm of David when he was in the desert of Judah. We know that Jesus had a desert experience. The Holy Spirit led him into the desert. And there he met the temptation of Satan against Christ. And we know that everything that the enemy tried to deceive Jesus about and trick him about and get him to bow down and all this stuff, Jesus replied with the word of God every time, it is written, it is written, it is written. Amen. And so we need to take that example when we get in rough places, crisis situations, just hit the devil with the word of God. Just come against the enemy with the word of God, and you'll see victory. But David goes to this desert of Judah to escape Absalom, and he prays this awesome prayer. And this we're going to close with this morning. And verse 1 says this, David prays, O God, you are my God. Aren't you glad that we have a personal God? He knows our name. He knows right where we are. He knows just what we're going through. He knows what we need right when we need it. He says, earnestly I seek you. The word tells us in the New Testament, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. David said, earnestly I seek you. You got to do business with God. You got to get in earnest with God. You can't just talk to him when everything's crumbling around you. You got to have a relationship when things are going well. You got to spend time with him at all times, not just when you think you need him. And then he says, my soul thirsts for you, and even my body longs for you in this dry and weary land where there's no water. Where David's in a rough place, but he knows that God is with him. And he continues praying. He says, I have seen you. He's going back in his mind. He says, I've seen you in the sanctuary. I've beheld your power and your glory. Because your love is better than life, my lips are going to glorify you. He says, you know, Father, your love is better than life itself. When I am in your presence in the sanctuary, I've seen your power, I've seen your glory, I've seen you manifest yourself. I know that I've sensed and felt your love, and that is better to me than life itself. Your love is better than life. So therefore, my lips are going to glorify you. I will praise you as long as I live, and in your name, I lift up my hands. He says, I love you, I glorify you, I'm going to praise you as long as there's breath in me, and in your name, I'm going to lift up my hands. And I love this. My soul, the innermost being, the innermost longings of us, our soul, our very soul. He said, my soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods, and with singing lips, my mouth will praise you. I love in this psalm and one that we read earlier about all the singing of David, the music, the harp, the lyre, all that stuff. David was a musician. He was a singer, a psalmist. He wrote these psalms, and many of them, most of them were songs that were sung. And so David says, you know what? Even in this desert, and even though I'm being chased by my own son, he said, my soul is going to be satisfied right here in the place where I'm suffering. My soul is going to be satisfied as with the richest of foods. It would be as if, because I'm in your presence, Lord, it's as if I'm sitting at a banquet table and I'm enjoying the richest of fare, the richest of foods. I'm just enjoying your presence as if I would be enjoying a wonderful meal. And now with singing lips, my mouth is going to praise you. Out of the depths of my heartache about my son, the heartache about what's happened in my kingdom, he said, my lips are going to sing praise to you. And then look at this. On my bed, again, David is lying down in that desert. He says, on my bed, I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. The night was broken into portions of hours that people would stay up and others would take over. But David says, you know what, Father? Tonight, I'm just thinking about you through the watches of the night. This particular night, he's not sleeping. In the other psalm, he was. This one, he says, I just want to think of you through the watches of the night. He's like where Jesus, prayed all night long before he chose his disciples. It's like David. He said, I'm praying through the night because I know that there's a battle tomorrow that we've got to fight. And it was against his own son. And then he says in verse 7, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. I love that. You know, there's a book by Merlin Carruthers years ago, and it's called Answers to Praise. Answers to Praise. That when people get in crisis situations, they choose to praise God. And that's what David did. He's singing. He's making music and melody in his heart to the Lord. Paul tells us to do that as well in the New Testament. David says, I sing in the shadow of your wings. In the midst of this desert, in the midst of what I'm going through, I choose to sing praise to you because I'm in the shadow of your wings. And then my soul clings to you. Your right hand upholds me. Your right hand upholds me. So question to you this morning is, what crisis are you facing today? You in this building with me this morning, you on YouTube watching this morning, what crisis are you facing today? What's your dilemma? What friend maybe has betrayed you or let you down or hurt you? What problem are you facing? Have you lost a job? Do you still not have any unemployment money coming in? What's your situation today? What's going on in your life? What's the need of your life? God already knows about it, but if you just talk to him about it, if you just praise him in the midst of your need, he said, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Let's pray together. Father, we love you so much. And we know that the same God that delivered David is more than enough and more than able to deliver each one of us if we'll simply call out in faith and trust. Oh God, just as David, in the midst of great heartache and in the midst of tremendous crisis in his life, he knew where to run. He ran to you. And so, Lord, this morning, I pray that everyone in this room with me and those watching this morning, that we would choose to run to you, that we would not allow a crisis event in our lives to drive us from you, but rather to draw us to you. Oh God, touch us this morning. Be the encourager of our hearts. Be the lifter of our heads. And be the very health and joy of our countenances this morning. God, supply the needs. Do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think. Lord, heal sick bodies. Save those that may not know you this morning, Lord. Bring them to you, to a saving knowledge of Christ. Lord, heal the sick. Oh God, save the lost. Transform lives by your mighty power. Set captives free. Lord, break the yoke of habits. Oh God, bring a deliverance, Father. It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord. So Holy Spirit, do your work in every heart and life. Lord, we cast all of our care upon you because we know that you care for us. Oh God, we thank you for every promise in the Word that you've made to us. I ask that we would get into that Word, read it for ourselves, and discover, Lord, the great love that you have for each one of us. Lord, discover the promises that you've made to us. Oh, Father, all that you desire to bless people with. Oh, Father, let us find our peace in you. Let us find our place in your family through Christ. Lord, move in a powerful way. Oh, Father, we love you so much. Thank you, Lord, for hearing. Thank you, Lord, that the answer is on the way. Oh, Lord, you said before you even ask, the answer's on the way. So, Father, do that in every heart and life. Lord, supply whatever is needed, whatever is lacking, body, soul, mind, and spirit, every area, every aspect of our lives. Come through, Father, for each one, and we give you praise for it. In the mighty name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We love you very much. Have a great day today, great week coming up. Be safe and take care. God bless you.